This episode of the See You Next Summer podcast is brought to you by Zencastr. We love the quality of Zencastr. We mostly use it of how the high quality of the audio recordings, and it will always help us to sound our best. We have used Zencastr for more than 2 years. We love it. So right now, this episode is brought to you by them. We have an offer right now. Go to Zencastr.com/pricing and use our code CUSEEYOU, and you will get 30% off of your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. We want you to have the same experiences that we do for all of your podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story, any kind of podcast, from cooking, movies, TV shows. We highly recommend you. So please go to Zencastr.com/pricing. Use our code CUSEEYOU and you'll get 30% off of any Zencastr pay plan.
Welcome to the See You Next Summer podcast. I'm the Grand High Witch, and here's my secretary with three lines of dialogue, Billy Pollahan.
But we'll come in handy for a deus ex machina.
No, yes!
What's up, guys? We're continuing... We're continuing Roald Dahl month.
Yes.
Very interesting second movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be
perfect
for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And it's perfect if you want to give children nightmares. The Witches.
Yes.
1990.
The original.
Directed by Nicholas Roeg.
Mm-hmm.
Very famous director. He's made some very influential movies. And starring Angelica Houston. My gosh. I remember promos for this, and I was like, ooh, seems a little dark. I always saw the cover art as well back when movie posters were awesome.
Cool. Wait, they look like a painting.
Because some of them were actually painted.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is based off of the same story. This is also the same... this is the last... adaptation that Roald Dahl himself saw.
Mm-hmm.
He hated it only because of the ending.
Mm.
But aside from that, he said everything else was good. He really loved Angelica Houston.
Nice.
But also, don't take too much worth in that, because Roald Dahl was, ironically, not a good guy. But he made some... A heck of a good storyteller, but
mm-hmm.
not a good person. But you know what is good? This movie. It's pretty darn good. This is very much a Raoul movie.
Yes, in all definition of the word. It has everything that I love. Horror stuff, good comedy, great things to traumatize children. It has everything that I love. But also that whimsy thing that the movie has. I don't know if it was a studio note. I don't know if Nicholas Roeg chose that or it was thinking about the test screenings. But I like the whimsy of it in some moments. I don't know why, but it was because of the music. The music is very good.
Yeah, Stanley Meyer's music is very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also, damn you to hell, Robert Zemeckis. I just remember the damn remake. But yeah, this movie, I got to see this movie on cable. Of course, I was 1 year old when this movie came out. And I saw this movie multiple times on cable. And I was watching it right now. And I'm like, I just remember so many like different kind of like commercial breaks. Like exactly when the commercial break started. I also think that this movie has one of the best Angelica Houston performances.
Oh, she is fully embracing the camp.
She ate it. Like, oh my God.
Well, in some cases, literally.
Literally, yes. So this movie starts with just the logo, the witches. And I do love the intro of the weird Sam Raimi kind of chasing, but it's just through the mountains. And it feels like we're seeing a witch flying from her point of view. And the whole... dun, 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 dun. Like the whole music, how it goes. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, it's dun. Very much like a Spielberg.
Yes.
moment, and like the score is very John Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Very whimsical and sometimes way too over dramatic.
Yes.
But it works in its favor in this case.
And also I don't know if Nicholas wrote it on purpose, but the cinematography, the way that it's shot in some places, it feels like you're watching a really creepy documentary.
That's usually what his films do look like. But he did direct some horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
Most famous one is Don't Look Now with Donald Sutherland.
Mm-hmm.
Peak 70s horror right there. But yes, we get the introduction of... Well, first, the narrator is the grandmother, Helga, who is telling a story who's Norwegian. And she's telling...
Mm-hmm.
Luke, our main character, about witches. They're female demons and they hate children. And they will do anything to destroy or transform them.
I love how she establishes the rules. They can live next door. They will look like any ordinary women. They have a regular job. There's one many. They could have in place and in each country. They have a leader. The ruler, of them all. The Grand High Witch. The most evil being in existence. They're always been planning to destroy children. And then she puts her hand, and we establish immediately that she lost one of her fingers. And she looks like...
Oh, yeah, her pinky.
Her pinky. And I was like, why, Grandma? When I was younger, I traveled the world looking for her. I believe no one has found her. Halisa Gaib. And then Luke was like, how can you know she exists if you haven't seen her? You believe in the devil exists, right? So she can too. And I love this line, when a witch has an eye on a child, there's only one way out. It could go only one way. When I was your age, I had a friend named Erica. And I love how we focus immediately on the glow, the purple glow in the eyes of a witch. And then also immediately, also Nicholas Roeg shows us that their skin is very deformed in many places. And that's why I always hide it.
Yes, because they have claws instead of fingernails, which they hide by wearing gloves. They have bald heads, which they cover by wearing gives, but it gives them rashes because they're itching their heads from the wigs.
And they have no toes.
They have no toes, just square feet, which they hide by wearing sensible shoes, which is just like you will never see them in high heels or anything fancy, just regular plain shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And a purple tinge in their pupils. And the smell. They smell children. And they can the detail I love the most.
Mm-hmm.
They know what a kid smells like
because
they smell like dog crap, or as they say, dog droppings.
Yes. So
the cleaner the kid, the worse it smells for them. But the dirtier the kid, the less it smells because all they'll smell is the dirt.
So you're saying that maybe if the witches went to Forbes, Washington, it would have smelled little Jacob. Jacob Black, they would be like, oh my god, this is the worst child ever. Because remember that they smell like wet dogs, and they smell like dog crapping. Because he's a dog, he's a lycopride. But also, I love that they say, and then we see Erica walking, and she gets kidnapped, and she was getting milk. And I was like, they look for her for weeks. Witches, they don't use knives or guns. That's how they will get caught. She completely disappeared. I was at Erica's house 6 weeks later. Her mother was pouring tea. And then I love how the father is just staring at the painting. I was like, and then he was staring at the painting like she was seeing a ghost. As he was walking slowly, it was little Erica in the painting. Standing in the window, and how Erica says, "Papa," and that is the scariest scene in a non-horror movie I have ever seen.
And then when they took her from the twisted, burning wreck, it looks like this. It's up there with a story that Large Marge would say in Pee-wee's Big Adventure. That's why I said that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's super creepy. Like something out of like Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Mm-hmm.
And what was even more interesting is that she was never in the same place at once. Sometimes she'd be in the field. Sometimes she would be feeding the ducks.
Feeding the ducks.
But what's even stranger still is that as time passed, she aged. Until only recently, she disappeared entirely. Cursed to live life in a painting. That's such a good horror story. How it's told is masterful.
It's amazing. When I was at how it's told, it's gorgeous. My God, like, beautiful writing. When I was a kid, I had so many theories of what the hell happened to that little girl in the painting. And I remember when I was a teenager, I imagined what if she was like, because she says in the between the lines, no one can see her move. And I'm like, what if the little girl, kind of like she had a, like a timer to show up in the painting. Like maybe like you need to, every 3 or 4 hours, she can go out outside of the painting and being in that world. And imagine that around that world, around that little pond in the cabin was kind of like a force field. The only place that she was safe in outside of the force field. I imagine one time that was like, what if she's buying like Lovecrafting creatures or something? It would have been so cool. And I imagine so many things in that story from the girl in the painting. But that scene scared the crap out of me when I was a kid. And it still scares the crap out of me right now as an adult. It's beautiful writing. And also, I'm sorry I had never read the book. I don't know if this story is in the book, though. And the girl in the painting, I don't know if this is in the book.
I don't know because I've never read the book. Apparently, the remake is actually closer to the novel than this movie.
That's what I heard, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think here it's still, it's very effective because there's just this dark undertone throughout the entire film. Like something wrong is going to happen like the entire time, as it does. Because when Luke gets put to bed by his mom and dad, oh no, I hope nothing happens to them. They died in a car crash.
But very interesting setup, though, because they show kind of like a little bit of the clothes of the mom. I'm like, did they evaporate it? Did they turn on fire? I was like, I also had a theory that the Grand Witch waiting many years for revenge and she would kill them off screen. I always imagined that. And I also, did you notice that was a Chevy Impala? That the parents live in a Chevy Impala?
It was.
And so, and then we talk about how the thing about smells, and I also I like the detail of how the cup was showing the cape, like the handkerchief of the mom, and it felt like someone bringing something back from a war, like a soldier just bringing like the uniform, and then we go into they go back to England, and then Luke is at the tree house, and I love this witch. Because, hello, young man. What a beautiful treehouse you built. And no, my father and I did. I have something for you. And she gets out of her bag a snake. And then Luke notices the purple glow in her eyes. Boys love snakes. Grandma! Grandma! This is private property. I found it on the road. It's harmless. Grandma! She can't hear you. What is your name? Luke, right? I was like, what about this piece of chocolate? I was like, Luke, is that you? And then the witch goes. And then I love how the witch goes, but also the snake disappears. And I'm going to quote my mother because she told me that the first time she showed me the movie. I was maybe like 6 when I saw it. I was like, this is a good for you. You need to learn, like, you cannot trust every stranger. And I'm like, I think that's also part of the message of the movie. You have to be careful of strangers. There's a lot of lessons in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, do not take it like that. Do not take poisonous candy. Do not trust in strangers. Be very careful of adults. I mean, like, if I was a teacher, I would put this movie in school. I think this should be required viewing.
Oh, yeah. And then Luke is having his 9th birthday because he's only 8. In the book, he's only 7. But what happens is Grandma falls ill with diabetes.
It's a very interesting setup, though. And then she doesn't have, like, a car condition or something
Then, yeah, and it's just, they're like, why don't you go by the sea? And then they do. And it's unfortunate because there's a convention that's happening at the same time. But he meets and befriends this very friendly, but obviously one-note kid.
Bruno Jenkins.
Bruno Jenkins. He's such a glutton for food. And
every line he says is about food.
And it gets very irritating.
Mm-hmm.
And then Luke also unintentionally antagonizes the hotel manager.
Mr. Bean.
Yep, Mr. Bean playing Mr. Stringer. Mm-hmm. Because he has two pet mice, William and Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Ha ha ha. And they frighten one of the maids who happens to be his girlfriend. I think they were trying to keep it secret.
I think they were lovers.
Oh, they were definitely. They were in the cupboard, you know.
Yeah.
Under the stairs, in the cupboard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
In the broom closet, the British way.
Canoodling.
I love that how we get introduced to Angelica Houston by her just getting out of that car and the music goes like immediately goes very dark for a second. I was like, and then it goes whimsy again. I was like, she hasn't even said a word yet. Immediately, you know.
And then when she does, first of all, it's Ava Ernst, and she's supposed to be German, I think. And she's the leader of the Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children. Respect.
And I put out in my notes, aka the Republican Party.
Pretty much. And then Luke ends up in the ballroom because William and Mary are let loose.
But don't forget about the little detail on the painting.
Oh, yeah. One of the witches sees a small child in a painting and then just...
And then the grand witch, she sees the child, was like, and then she taps it. And then she turns around and the secretary was about to tap it. She's like, come on, man. Because the secretary, we had to establish her. She's kind of like the assistant last secretary of the grand high witch. And she only has like three lines of dialogue. But we know that she's different because she's the only one wearing white. I do like that at that point because every single witch, they wear the same colors. Black, red, or very like dark blue. In the kind of way, she's the only one that uses purple. And I also like the little weird line that the grandma says that they're hypoallergenic mice. The William and Mary are hypoallergenic mice. And then I love that the mom, this is my other thing when I did so much about thinking about how to do a sequel or prequel to this movie. Because there's so many lines between the grandma and the high witch. I was like, I know that woman from somewhere, how they always stare at each other. I'm like, there's some damn ancillary novel that it was made in the 90s that I don't know about right here. But and then Mr. Bean, he pulled out a lot of mousetraps throughout the hotel. And then Luke goes to the convention hall and the grandma falls asleep because of diabetes. And then the witches are right to the hall.
And then I remember the first time I watched this movie. And it was with Raul and with our friend Matthew. And... they
oh yes, I remember that was your first time seeing it.
Just get to the witch's reveal scene.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they do, it's like remove your shoes, remove your gloves, all that stuff. But then the high grand witch it's the cat in the background. It's very ironic. Given the movie that we're talking about. Especially because cats do make an appearance in this movie every time. But when the Grand High Witch, High Grand Witch, reveals her true self, that's where Jim Henson comes in, because this movie was executive produced and it was helped out by the Jim Henson Company, and you can tell. And this was the last movie that he worked on before his death.
The makeup. The puppetry. This is the thing that I wonder, I should have researched this. When she takes out the whole thing, was Angelica Houston in makeup? Or was it a puppet? Does it look amazing? A mix of both?
I think it was... I think it was mostly like latex and prosthetics.
Yeah, because all of the... But I think the head, that was partially kind of like the way that it turns... First, it looks like a puppet, and then it looks like latex. And you know what reminded me of transformation? It's at the level of an American Werewolf in London.
It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, it's seamless.
Also, I love this movie, but I had to nitpick. Do you notice all of the guys in drag in the background? between the people in the audience.
I did. I was like, okay, so
these were extras that you couldn't get more women in the shot.
Which makes me believe that RuPaul is a witch.
I know it.
Well, because they are bald, in fact. Mm-hmm. And witches are bald, as we know. Mm-hmm. We see all the scabs and like stuff on them. The makeup on all the witches is really good. Mm-hmm. They do look quite ugly. But essentially, it's just to also establish that Angelica Houston is just the worst person ever. Can't take any criticism at all. Hence the Republican Party.
No.
Criticisms. Yes. Literally zaps one of them because she just said, we won't, because the witch said, we won't be able to kill all the children. That's a ridiculous demand. And then she's like, oh, who said that? All right, we'll see it when you die.
Yes! But I love how everybody stares, and I love this damn witch. They focus on her, the camera, which is like, she's just waiting for her to get killed. I love it. She's like, I was like, you're a disgrace. Can you just go? But I love that it feels like a, like women going, this is, feels so horrible, this joke. But like women, they go to conventions of some Mary Kay Cosmetics. I was like, because it said that they only kill one children per week. And she technically, because she's the high commission one, she says, you have to get more children. You have to kill more. I'm not sorry for just one child. I didn't notice that. I've seen this movie 20, 30 times. And she says, I demand maximum results. I want every child in England to get eliminated. It's impossible to kill all of them. And she's like, who spoke? It was me, your grandness. You dare talk to me? What should I do with you? I can just turn your bones until they're black. You will not be here for long. And then she blasts her ass. And I love how she turns into dust. And even the cherry is destroyed. And I also love that all of the witches that they're so used to the Grand Witch killing somebody, that they start moving slowly as she's giving her monologue before they stab her.
Basically the stereotype of the evil witch. Mm-hmm. But anyway, she's there to... So it's established, I don't know if they ever explicitly say it, but all the witches from all the different countries, they don't contact with each other. They're all only there when it's the...
Per country.
What?
It's only the England ones.
Per country. Mm-hmm. The witches, like in England, only stay in England. Mm-hmm. They don't contact other countries, but they're all united by the Grand High Witch, mm-hmm. who's the leader of the entire coven. Mm-hmm. And... she is there basically to say, hey, we're going to kill more kids, and this is how we're going to do it. A magic potion turns all the world's children into mice.
But I love that it was her plan, that it was like, I'll give you many money, you will quit your jobs, you're going to buy candy shops, and you're going to...
Yeah, because she's going to put the potions...
in candy.
In candy.
And I was like, and then one witch was like, we'll kill them in potions, who spoke? You want to... No, you want to get caught? This is why England is full of idiots. You will use my very own magic potion 86. Witches only work with magic. This potion, with 5 doses, can take up to 2 hours. With 500 doses, it will work immediately. Another, what does it do, oh great one? The child. Oh, I love how Angelica Houston starts to shrink. The child starts to grow fur, growing a tail, and it happens in 25 seconds. I look at she immediately raises her voice, and then she goes down lower. The child is no longer a child; he's a mouse. And I look at everybody goes, "Wow!" I feel like a like Comic Con. I like everyone goes nuts. And then she says, "This afternoon at 4:15, I gave one of these chocolates to an abusive child. I give him a bar of chocolate. What do you think?" And then the child said, "Got any more?"
But, and it was Bruno.
But I look at the voices, and it's so funny.
He's quite British. Like, but then he's just like, because they're all laughing, and he's like, "Ah ha 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 ha!" But you know, in his mind, he's like, "What the hell?" And then they're just...
And then darling, he promised me 6 bars of chocolate! Oh, you damn bastard!
Then they literally are counting down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then he turns to a mouse. And it's horrifying because Max, or not Max, Luke is right there.
Luke. To see Bruno. Luke watching from afar.
He's watching from afar. And then it's just like, oh, yeah. So get to it, ladies. This meeting is over. But while that's happening, one of the witches, who turns out to be one of the maids, because they, I do like the continuity of they are everywhere, catches a whiff of Luke and is like, oh, it's a child. There's one in here. Because obviously, you know, they can smell them.
From a far away, but the ending, yeah, I know I love this movie, but because it's a big plot hole, why you didn't notice Luke until now?
Maybe the wind wasn't in the right direction, and maybe it wasn't like, I don't know.
They were all distracted by the Hangai Witch's master plan?
I guess. But anyway,
You know the thing that I like? I love first how Bruno looks like he's on his face goes completely white and it feels like his eyes is dying little by little and it goes little by little and then you see the puppet, the big puppet first and then it turns into the mouse. I do like the transformation a lot. And then this scene, this is my other favorite scene. They're chasing the chasing Luke. And I told you that thing that I noticed, that woman that looks like Dance Moms. I noticed that until now. And then but I love the Crank High Witch, Angelica Houston just walking slowly. And sees this woman taking a nap in a bench. And sees this baby on a stroller. And how she puts her fingers in the nose side. She's like, bye-bye. She just pushes him. And I love this A24 Midsommar shit of every witch celebrating that the baby's about to die. And the heart they're jumping.
Well, for me, I can't help but think of Kung Pao.
Yes!
When the baby's rolling, the fake baby's rolling on the cliff.
There you go.
So cute. Bye.
I knew you were gonna bring that.
But Luke manages to stop the carriage just before it goes over the plateau, of course. Mm-hmm. But then all the witches are like, "Ah!" And they try to get him, but he manages to escape. So he tries to get his grandma because not call the police, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And
Mr. Bean,
because he hates him because his girlfriend is scared of mice. It seems like everybody is scared of mice. If it was rats, I can understand, but mice don't do anything. I'd rather not have mice in my house, but they're not bad. But she's in a diabetic coma, I guess. And
yes,
so the witch is,
because the scene that we established before, the grand witch added sugar to her coffee.
It wasn't much, and I love that she's just like, oh dear. There's some sugar. I guess I'm just gonna go in my room now. Some of the acting is weird.
Yes, I do agree with that. And then there was like, and then the Grand High Witch was like, "An old adversary I have encountered. You heard my grandma." They take him back to the to convention hall, and then that's when the Grand High Witch gets looked at a whole bottle.
Yep, and then he turns into an adorable little mouse and his little mouth and everything.
The little nose, the way that he does the eyes.
Yeah, and then he finds Bruno, and then he reunites with his grandma. And she's since recovered. I guess she just needs to sleep it off. But they're like, okay, how do we defeat the witches? Because they need a bottle of the potion.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to sneak into the kitchen, basically give...
But first to steal the potion.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think this is when the grandma tries to convince Bruno's parents that it's actually Bruno, but she doesn't in the absolute...
Bruno's parents.
Worst way possible.
And also because Bruno's a fucking idiot, Bruno immediately goes to eat a fucking olive instead of speaking, so he immediately puts him in the back. And also, I know that he's a fast stereotype, but the only way that Bruno goes into an adventure is because Luke promises that his grandma had peanuts.
Well, but you also know that they're kids. Faster. Kids are naive. Like, so it's also, like you said, it's the...
I know.
This whole movie is really an allegory for Stranger Danger. And you know there are kids that are like this.
Yes, it is.
A lot of kids are like this because they're kids. They don't know any better.
And I do like the cute puppetry of how they lower the mice puppet into the Grand High Witch's room with the little knitting thing. And
but
I
then
love
there's a cat in there. Of course, it's a black cat.
Yes! Doesn't look like Salem, though. Doesn't look like Salem. And it's
no, or Thackeray Binks.
Yes, and then Luke gets the potion, and then the grandma notices the housekeeper witch. It's like, oh, now she's finally noticing that this witch is in the hotel. And then Bruno's dad, in one line of dialogue, he's like, he's tried to seduce Angelica Houston, but he says that he donated money to the cause. And I was like, this is my other thing because of my joke about the Mary Kay thing, the Mary Kay vendors, because they have to talk about their cause. Angelica Houston can barely speak about church. She's like, you have to donate to the church. The one that she does, like,
It's like in Wonka, whenever they mention poor.
Yes.
He doesn't like that word. What, poor? As a gag reflex. But it's really because the dad just wants to have sex with Angelica Houston.
Mm-hmm. Well, the mom is right there with
his wife. And he's very, clearly does not care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could tell it's a loveless marriage.
Yes.
And everything.
And the horny housekeeper.
Yeah, the dad is probably a serial cheater.
Oh yes, he is.
But yeah, the maid that is with Mr. Bean,
mm-hmm.
Notices one of the potion vials because she thinks that it's just like perfume. So she puts some on her neck,
mm-hmm.
a little bit on her chest, and is like, "Haha, this is gonna be great for later." Oh, if only.
And then Mr. Bean notices the fur on her neck.
This is the night of like a big banquet.
It is the banquet of the whole convention of the witches.
And much like Fantastic Mr. Fox, this is not a long movie. Another hour and a half.
No, it's not.
Pacing just flies once again.
It's a very quick movie. It's a very quick tale because then we go into the kitchen. I love the focus on the food. I don't know if those fries were real fries or were fake fries with a puppet, but it looked amazing. And I love how we focus on the mice, and then we see that guy from Downton Abbey. What was the name of the character?
Oh, Mr. Carson, who coincidentally was also in Wonka.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he was in Wonka. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Which is also Roald Dahl.
He was the accountant, right, in Wonka? Yeah.
Yes.
And then I told Billy, I was like, this whole kitchen scene is the inspiration for Ratatouille. Literally, it's about soup.
Oh yeah,
a mice putting something in the soup. A mouse putting something in the.
Yeah, so he puts a whole bottle of the potion in, despite one of the kitchen staff also being a witch, and he's like, "Man, they're everywhere."
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Mr. Bean is going to her neck and to the maid's neck, and it turns out there's fur there. Ah, no, she's ruined. Unless they had laser surgery or whatever, but that cost a fortune.
Yeah, because it brings up a question though, because one of the witches said, what if it happens if an adult drinks it? I was like, well, that's too bad for the adult. So maybe only she have fur just because she did a little bit smidge. That's the thing that causes a question though. But then and then we see that finally Luke is safe. Because they planned this whole thing about timing it, and the grandma makes a mess for Mr. Bean to get a pick up a little broom. So Luke gets a ride from there, he sees all of the witches getting the soup, and then Bruno's father, like an idiot.
No, he's an asshole, too. He's very much the rich asshole.
Yes, he is.
And is like, I want what they're having, because he's literally just playing with his food. And it looks like a perfectly normal soup. He's like, oh, no, I just want what they want because he just wants to get in Angelica Houston's pants. To be fair, Angelica Houston, dynamite.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like the way that she was showing the leg in one shot and the cave of the way that she
was. I still think Morticia Adams, Angelica Houston, is like...
way hotter, yeah.
Way hotter, but still, here, you know, she's not bad. Not bad at all. You can understand why it would be... I don't know, like, nobody would suspect a thing.
Mm-hmm. And then Bruno's father gets the soup, and I was like, oh my god, the grandma says, he's about to eat it. And then my look is like, come on, stab him. And then it takes the spoon out of him. I was like, no. And then she grabs this and put it on the table.
Yeah, like, and he's like, you again, because...
You stupid woman. I was like, you went everything that you said about Bruno is right here. And she opens the bag, and the puppet is right there. Hello, Dad. And then Mando with
no
a she's
more
three.
School, no more homework. Yay! But also, the mother's also afraid of mice.
I love how the mom screams, though. I love how she's like, ah! And then she faints.
It's over the top,
and I love it. And then I was like, I can't survive if the cat doesn't kill me. Oh, yeah, because Bruno has three cats. And that fat bastard will not survive those three cats.
And he's not even that fat. Come on.
But the, it's a fat mice.
Yeah, I guess.
Uh-huh. And then I love that the chef mice turns and immediately goes to spill the beans to the Grand High Witch. And the Grand High Witch, she's so focused on the soup. She's like, oh, it's like children. And they just smash them. But then they're mice with one step. I love that.
Yeah, because the cook witch, she gets turned into a mouse and tries to warn the witch. But then they were like, ah, yeah, child. So they smash her. And the assistant.
She was not invited.
She was not invited. And then she's just like, well, screw you guys. I quit.
Mm-hmm. She's like, I didn't even want it to be one of them. And then it begs the question, my theory that I thought that she was a fairy that wanted to be a witch. The way that they also, they, because when we get to the ending, though.
But when that happens, because Luke already put the potion in the soup. And all the witches had more than enough soup.
And I love the focus on every single witch. The puppet witches. Oh, they all turned into a mice. And I love the makeup and some of them. And I love the consistency that every single one of them, even the children, they all have to spill like green gas.
It's a lot of methane gas. A lot of farting gas, if you will. And then it takes a little bit longer for the Grand High Witch to transform into one. But she does. And I love that the mouse, when she turns into a mouse, it still
horrible
looks like gross and ugly. But everybody starts killing the mice,
yes.
Just massacring
and
it.
Mr. Bean, so like this.
Love that the grandma's also like. There's a particularly nasty one under the water jug because it's the Grand High Witch, and then Mr. Bean's like, "Oh, thank you," and he gets a meat cleaver. Chops her in half. It's like, damn. So this is like a red wedding for witches.
Yes, yes, yes.
And they also unknowingly rid England of its witches.
Yes, they kill all of the witches in one step ago. And then also because I love the line, I was like, and then because you want to know who turned Bruno? And then the father goes, yes. And I was like, that woman over there, that's the Grand High Witch. She did that to Bruno. And many before them, you're doomed. I don't know what she says in German. And then Bruno technically buys her breath for her to start turning to speed up the process. And then the secretary sees from afar all of the mayhem. And then I love the focus on the camera when Mr. Bean is looking like with the camera bottle. And then before she cuts her in half. And I love how the grandma is like, get away from me! And then she dies. And then I love that the grandma puts Bruno into the table. I was like, he needs a diet. I was like, Mom, yeah, Mom,
so
you're going to make me lose weight. Look at me now. And I look how she laughs.
Basically, they don't have a cure. So they're like, here, just take him and go. Mm-hmm. And they're so flabbergasted mm-hmm. and just bewildered that they don't know what to think.
I love it.
I wouldn't know what to think either. And then...
then the grandma feels a mail tag.
What they do find...
feels a mail tag, gives it to Luke. I was like, why are you giving me to this? You will find out later. So technically, Luke found off-screen a Louis Vuitton, but like big-ass like treasure chest. It was Louis Vuitton. And then he mailed it to himself, to the grandma, full of money. And with a beautiful... booklet with every single witch in the United States.
Which we will see in the sequel. No, we won't.
Sequel.
But basically, they're just like, okay, we're just going to perform genocide on the witches. But then...
I want my damn sequel, goddammit!
And then this is where the movie loses me. Because I feel like this was very much a reshoot. You know, when they get home and then it's like, mm-hmm. Oh, good night. You know, I really am okay being a mouse. Okay, and then you could have ended the movie right there.
Mm-hmm.
Where it would have been like this kind of, oh man, he's stuck as a mouse, but he's okay with it.
And he's going to die in a few years.
Oh, yeah, because that's what happens in the book.
Yes.
Is that he does not get turned back into a human. Mm-hmm. He stays as a mouse, and they say that, oh, the grandma probably has only like 9 years left to live, and so do you now. And he's just like, oh, that's okay. I don't want to. I'll go before grandma.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like very dark.
That's pretty dark. Mm-hmm.
But for this movie, and Roald Dahl hated this ending too. The assistant, who is now, I guess, Glinda the Good Witch.
Yes!
Comes over and is like, hee 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 hee. And then zaps Luke in this giant house. Like fake house. Basically the Barbie dream house. And
then he goes back into a human.
He's a human. It's a good thing he magically sprouted clothes as well.
Well, he was naked first in the first shot.
But we didn't see anything, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
And then
he brings his mice back.
Yeah, and brings the mice back and gives him some new glasses. Because he
Oculus Reparo. Yeah.
Because his glasses were also stepped on and everything. And then they're just waving goodbye. And they're like, don't forget about Bruno. And then that's it.
That's how the movie ends.
It's the tacked on happy ending. And I think for a story like this, it needed the something similar.
I'm gonna sound like, I don't know.
To the original novel. Which is why like they teed it up for a similar ending where it was like, they didn't need to explicitly say that he was going to die, but you know, yes. He's still trapped as a mouse.
Like the remake, one of the only good things that the remake did, they kissed him like a mouse. That's the end. We know that he's going to die as a mouse. And wait, do you remind me if I'm wrong? Because I barely remember that remake. Doesn't Tenneke ends of him getting an army of children mice to kill the witches? That's how the...
I don't know. I never saw it, and it's removed from HBO Max, so we can't
watch
it.
Remember that was the last shot of the movie.
I never watched it, so because I didn't care.
It was bad. But yes, you know what? I'm going to go against myself. I still love this happy ending, but I do agree with you. It should have been the dark ending. That too.
And I'll say this. The movie did not make a lot of money. It made over its budget, but it did not make a lot. It developed a big cult following.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is one of those movies where it was an underground movie. I knew it more so for the poster than anything, with Angelica Houston and like the cloak and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Jim Henson Creature Shop designing for the prosthetics and the animatronics on the rats and mice, which they interchanged them with real mice as well. Obviously, William and Mary were real mice.
And also, there were some Luke mice and some Bruno mice that they were real. I looked at.
Yeah. I think, for the most part, this is a very well-made movie. Like, it's well-structured, it's very well-paced, it's very well-shot, everything. Nicholas Roeg is a very good director. And here, it really does shine. That horror background of his really works, because you feel the dread without it ever being explicit or jump scares. It's just, like, it has this eerie feeling. You can't quite describe it, but you know it when you see it. Yeah, no, I really enjoyed this movie on a rewatch.
Nice, nice. I forgot this was your second time watching it. I forgot about that. But it's true. I literally have almost no notes. Like, I do agree with you with all of that stuff. I agree, though. I would have liked a darker ending. But I grew up watching.
Yeah, I think the ending is, and some of the acting choices are a little
you
too
can notice
the
ADR
time.
There's a lot of ADR.
Oh, there is a lot, and some of the effects are obviously dated, but it was 1990, so I give it some slack. Mostly it's just nitpicking and the ending, but yeah, I will give this movie 8.5.
Nice. I still enjoyed the hell out of this movie. Angelica Houston, 8. I love the horror. For because of the painting scene, that's why I love this movie. The painting scene, almost killing the baby. So many stuff that I love about this movie. Right, I already said. It's a Raul movie. This is an 11 for me. Yeah, I love this movie. I love it. I love it.
So, next week, we got a double feature. It's a big one. One of the most famous, probably the most famous Roald Dahl story of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Of we're doing both the original and the Tim Burton remake of yes. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Which, ironically enough, Willy Wonka, the original one with Gene Wilder, focuses more mm-hmm. on Charlie, and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory focuses on Willy Wonka. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting because one of them is one of the most beloved films of all mm-hmm. time. The other one is very mixed. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting rewatching Burton's version. And we don't even really need to describe the story in that one. It's just going to be more like a compare and contrast because everybody knows the story of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
That's going to be very interesting for us to explore those.
It's going to be a big
one. It's going to be a big one, especially because some people already know my opinion about one of them, on both of them. But yeah. As always, you can find me at RobertRDC on Twitter, Instagram, and on Letterboxd at RobertRDC. Please follow the podcast and SYN Spot on Twitter. Give us a nice review and all of the other stuff in Ubly.
Yes, you can follow me on Letterboxd and Twitter, which I am going to try not to be on Twitter anymore. But you can still follow me at SYN or at MasterofPuns196. You can follow the main show at SYNS Pod. And you can also follow me on Instagram at Billy Batson's Lightning. Nothing is capitalized because Master of Puns, every letter is capitalized. Can you tell that we've been, this is a late night recording?
Yes, it is. And as always, see you next summer. Dun, 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 dun. Dun.